A well-produced, so we'll start with the foundation. The foundation being that your audio is working, your video is working, your background is not full of junk, and it doesn't have to be a green screen. This is not a green screen. A lot of people always assume that I'm using a green screen because it's so flat. This is a sheet.
2024 now. Of course, all of us have seen the experience of COVID. Nobody have any excuse to do everything in physical. You can basically set up a business and run it online this day. And that come with, though it come with a lot of opportunity, but it come with its own challenges, which is technology. So running a virtual business or an online business, how much does technology play in what you do?
You throwing in a random poll is not going to make your event have engagement. Let me give you an example. We had a client who they were doing a training of sorts. This happened to actually be a government client, and they were doing some training for some new system. And one of those speakers was told that they needed to do something for engagement. And specifically, they were told that they need to throw in a poll. No rhyme or reason why, but it said, throw in a poll. My name is Ella Glasgow, and I am the director of Funability at Beyond Virtual Events. That's my self-given title. But essentially, we work with small businesses and corporations to help them to create better engagement for their virtual events and make those events so good that they are become a powerhouse of marketing material.
All right. That's interesting, Ella. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Here in Obehi Podcast, we spend a lot of time on storytelling because we love so much storytelling. That we can't live without it. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? What can you remember? The earliest you can remember of your story. That is important for me.
You want me to go back to the very beginning?
Exactly.
When I was born?
You got it.
I was born at a little...
You got it. That's the point.
I won't go back as far as where I was born, but I will tell you the parts that are relevant to where I am now.
Please go.
My father was in the military, and he was a computer analyst, which meant that I also loved computers, or at least I was the daughter that fell in love with computers because my sisters do not. So I fell in love with computers at a young age. Back when I don't know, Obe, how close in age we are, but this is back in the Commodore 64 days. Back in the day where you had to have a book that was 1,000 pages long to code in a single dot that would swing across your screen. This was back in those days. If we'd only had AI back then, right?
The world would have been a better place, though.
It would have been so much easier to get that dot to swing across the screen.
I remember the story.
Right. But that's kind of where my love for computers and tech started. Moving from there, beyond having that love for tech and computers, I also had a love for performance. And so as I grew older, I actually went into performance, got two vocal degrees, classical and commercial voice, and utilized that over the last over 20 years being a professional performer, professional singer, excuse me, on stages around the world. But I ended up performing on stages around the world. I started out my very first big professional contract. It wasn't my very first professional contract, but my very first big professional contract was with Disney, which meant that for me as a performer, I have been brainwashed by the mouse. And at the time, doing all of these things that I did, I wasn't necessarily thinking about, you know, the kind of training and the way that I was performing at Disney and how that made me think about other things. But the other piece of the puzzle that not a whole lot of people knew about me regarding what I planned on doing beyond performing is that I also had planned on having a production company. And I had written down this game plan in 2005. And my original business plan was, I think it was like 17 pages long. I've got it on my computer here somewhere. It's like 17 pages long, and started out with, I have a production and coaching company. And so this production company I've always wanted, but it's not something that many people knew that I had a desire to do, because there were maybe five people on the planet that I had talked about it with outside of my husband. So when 2020 rolled around, I hadn't started this production company yet. It had been something that I couldn't do because I didn't know how to get the money that I needed to start that production company. I needed about $250,000. And at 23 years old at the time, I didn't know how to get $250,000. If we'd only had Google and YouTube in its current inception, I would have understood how to get that. But at the time, I didn't know how to get $250,000 to start my production company. So I didn't. And when I did learn how to get that money, the way that I was taught to get it was to get investors and all these things. And that made me even more frightened, because in my mind, I couldn't see any way to get, there was no way that I could see one investor could have $250,000. That was weird for me. I thought I was going to have to get $250,000 people to each give me a dollar. And I would have to be beholden to that many people. And so I didn't start the company when I learned how to do it then. That was probably in 2016 when I learned how to do that. Then here came 2020. And while I hadn't forgotten about my production company, I hadn't really thought about my production company in a long time. And at the beginning of 2020, you know, everything was shutting down. Things were going crazy. And we were looking at start having a birthday party for our son, who was then going to be turning 4 years old, I believe. 4 or 5 years old, 4 years old. And we had already sent out invitations. Nobody had responded yet. And we didn't have any addresses or numbers to be able to call these parents to say we were going to do something different. And so I said to my husband, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know. And I looked at him and I said, what if we did his party online? And he said, that's weird. But at this point, you know, we've been together long enough. He knows Entrepreneur Ella always has some harebrained idea, right? So I didn't say anything further about it. I left it at that for him. But this brain was working. And I talked to his teacher on Friday. And I said, if we change our plans, do you have a way to get information to the parents? And she said, yeah, what are you thinking? I said, I'll tell you when we decide. In my brain, I said, I can't tell you my plans of world domination. So Friday, they shut the school down. Saturday, Sunday, I built a website, onlinebirthdayparties.com. I still have the website. It's just not active right now because we're not doing birthday parties right now. On Monday, went to my networking group and said, last week I was talking to you and asking for coaching clients and gigs. Today I bring to you online birthday parties. And they said, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. That is so great. And you could do this and this and this. And I said, I hear you, I see you, and trust me, I have thought far beyond birthday parties with this, but let me get some foundations laid before I go into the other things that you're talking about, which they were saying you could work with businesses. Trust me, I had already thought of it. It was one of those moments where, you know, when you have the inside edge on something, and you can see very far into the future and you know exactly how to get there, but you just need a little bit more foundation to be laid before you can go there. It was one of those moments. I felt like I had gotten a second chance to be in the 2008 fallout. Because when all the real estate things were going on in 2008, I was on a cruise ship, so I couldn't take care of, I couldn't be a part of any of that money changing. But when this happened, I said, oh.
You were there. You felt everything. You saw it all.
I'm here for this one. So I did what I needed to do. We did birthday parties for a few months before I laid that foundation. And once I realized, okay, what I had and what I could do, I went back to my networking group. I said, I'm ready for you business peeps now. So the first event that we did for a business was not a small feat. We did a hybrid event. Did me and my team know how to do a hybrid event? No. But did we do it? We sure did.
You fly and you grow the wings.
It was fun. Exactly. We did a hybrid event for a bank, no less. It was a groundbreaking ceremony.
That's lovely.
And we just kept going from there. But over the years, that's how basically we got started. And over the months, I should say before the years, over the months of doing that, my husband and I looked at each other and I said, oh my gosh, do you realize we just stepped into the production company? And it didn't take us $250,000 to do it.
That is a dream to be dreaming of. That is what you have always wanted, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's so great. While many people thought that I was pivoting, like I said, there were five people outside of my husband that knew I was not pivoting. I was simply doing what I had already stated I was going to do. And here we are, producing events for companies, and have introduced doing small businesses this year because they need the help too. I have been seeing that small businesses are not realizing the power that they have in utilizing virtual events the same way that big businesses, big corporations have been doing. So I'm really excited to be able to have this ability to do that for them now.
That's interesting. That really is so interesting. All right. Now, at what point did you realize that this was going to be the business you will focus on? Because now you'll be testing different things. You see that the thing are beginning to fall in place. You know, one thing I really love about entrepreneur and business in general is that you're never going to have the entire package fully formed and give it to you and say, go and execute, though. You're going to have to figure out things on your own. And of course, you are going to learn as you are doing it. And as you learn, you are maturing in everything, both in your reasoning, in your approach. You are going to make a lot of mistakes, but you are going to learn along the way. But you get to a point that you know, okay, this is the direction I'm going. This one. That one is not going. Yeah. This one is going. I'm taking out. I'm taking in this. So tell me, what was that point that you say, okay, this is actually what you want to do?
It was never a playtime for me. The very minute that I realized that we could take my son's birthday online, I knew it was a business. That was immediate. So yes, here's the interesting thing with that, the piece that I kind of left out. When that happened, at the time, I was still working with creatives. So for a long time, I was a coach for creatives. And we were going through my course at that time called Permission to Dream and Dream Ignition Bootcamp. And at that point, I was teaching them the week before all of this happened. I'd just given them a session on how to see the need, fill the need, and do that as a creative. And as a creative, sometimes creatives have a hard time understanding how to communicate what it is that they are selling to their audience. And what I was teaching them about is how to be able to communicate that to your audience without changing what it is that you do. As a creative, it's not that we need to change what we do. We need to change how we talk about it. And so we talked about those things. And that very next week, I said to them, here is an unintentional case study of exactly what I was teaching you last week. I saw the need. I had the need. I filled the need. I changed not a thing of what I'm doing. I have worked with kids for years. I've been online for a year. Heck, we're online right now. Look, us, we online. That's what we were doing. We were doing that class online. So I've been doing this for years. I've not changed a thing. I simply said, now we're calling it online birthday parties. I've been entertaining children for years. This is nothing different.
Oh, right. That's great.
Same show, different name.
That's great. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. But now tell me, there are the people that are listening to you now, and they have no idea of what you mean by producing virtual content. What does it mean?
Yeah. So basically, it's a video. virtual means basically you're doing video. But when you're doing a virtual event, typically, in my mind, the way that I define it, a virtual event is live. Does that mean that all of the video communication at that virtual event has to be live? No, but I find it's a lot more fun. And when you have your speakers and your speakers live and your audience there with you live to be able to engage with you in real time, just as you would if you had been in person with them. So that's what I mean when I say virtual event, and we're talking about virtual production. We're really talking about video.
Something like, if you were to give me an example, maybe somebody's organizing an event, I don't know, a webinar, it will give it to you guys to produce, then you give it to them, then they can edit, or maybe you do it live or something like that. Could you please?
So, excuse me. So there are a number of ways that different production companies do it. The way that we do it, and you're right, there's so many terminologies that people use when it comes to virtual events. When I'm talking to you about a virtual event, you can also say a webinar. I hate saying webinar because webinars are so 2019. there's a very different mindset when you are looking at a webinar as opposed to an event, which is why I'm specific about saying event and not webinar, because webinar mindset is very, very different. And those tend to be boring and a bunch of slides. So I'm wanting to do something different for you. So when we're producing events for our clients, I'm thinking about now, we did an event for Chicago State University, and they had an event that was usually in person. It was an event, a science event, a STEM event, and they had all kinds of posters that needed to be showcased and all kinds of talks that needed to be done about the different sciences and things. And they had to bring that online. So we helped them to do that, to really digitize that and make that experience work in an online space. Now, the platform that we decided to use with them to do that was Zoom. And I know when you hear Zoom, sometimes you're like, Zoom. Zoom is not the issue. Zoom is not the problem. The problem is the people that are running Zoom. So if that's you, I'm sorry if I'm blaming you right now for your event not being good. It's your fault. It's not Zoom's fault. But I'm here to help you with that, so that you don't have to have an event on Zoom or any other platform that falls flat. It's not the platform's fault. It has to do with strategy and the strategy being lacking. It has to do with a foundation of putting the event together being lacking. For instance, spoke with a client, spoke with someone recently who did an event. I went to go and watch the event, and they asked me what was lacking in their event, which they happened to run on Zoom. And I said, before I tell you what I saw and where I feel that we could help you, tell me what you saw, because this was the first time that they'd done it. And she said, wow, the biggest thing that we saw is that we thought that because it was on Zoom, that all we had to do was basically send out a link and go. And there's so much more to do than that, because it's an event now and not just a meeting. And I said, you're right. That's how most people think. Most people think for an event, regardless of whether it's Zoom, Teams, Google Meets, whatever it is, most people think when it comes to doing a virtual event, because they feel like there's not so much setup that has to happen because you're not in a physical space, that all you need to do is send out a link and call that an event. And my friend, that is so far from the truth. there's so much that needs to be set up. It has to be set up just like an in-person event. You have to complete the room just like an in-person event. It's almost like saying going to a hotel. Say you go to the Hilton and you ask them for an event space. They show you a room that's empty and you say, well, it's an event now. No, it's not. You didn't put any decor up. You didn't set any tables out. You didn't put any things on the wall. You ain't gotten any lights. It's not an event just because it's a room. And it's not an event just because you send out a link from Zoom or Teams or meetings or whatever it was. There are many things that have to be put in place to make it an event.
All right. That is interesting. Now you got some people curious. So what are those primary things that need to be put in place to make it a real event? So at least now we can separate it from just sending out a link and say, hey, come, the party is over, but there is nothing to drink.
Exactly. Those are things that you really have to determine for yourself. You have to decide, A, number one, what is the purpose of this event? At the end of the day, what is it that you are trying to have happen for yourself and for the attendees? And everything that you do has to work back from that. Every single element that you add has to work back from that. And when I'm talking about elements, because the thing that I hear from people the most is that engagement, engagement, engagement. My engagement is down, like nobody's engaging. Blah, blah, blah. And so a lot of the platforms are promoting their engagement tools like polls and whiteboards and all of these things, which those are fabulous. I'm not saying that you can't use those. What I'm saying is that if you don't know where you're trying to go with your event, either for yourself or your audience, and both of those things need to be determined, then you throwing in a random poll is not going to make your event have engagement. Let me give you an example. We had a client who they were doing a training of sorts. This happened to actually be a government client, and they were doing some training for some new system. And one of those speakers was told that they needed to do something for engagement. And specifically, they were told that they need to throw in a poll. No rhyme or reason why. But they said, throw in a poll. And I said, oh, okay. And this was my bad for not asking her. This was a client from a while ago, long ago. We've learned so many things since the beginning, right? And while I understood she didn't necessarily need to have a poll, I wasn't as strong as I am right now when it comes to talking with my clients about what they need and what they don't. And so we get to the event. She has the poll. And the poll was about basketball. Now, if what she was talking about was about basketball, or if she had found a way to tie in basketball into what she was training on, it would have been great. But nothing that she was doing, nothing that she was saying had anything to do with basketball. She did not tie basketball back into what she was training about. She simply said, oh, let me throw up this poll. What's your favorite basketball team? and wondered why there was no engagement. And this is happening all the time. You cannot just throw out engagement tools and they lead to nowhere. They're not creating an outcome for you. So whatever it is that you throw in, whether it be a poll or a whiteboard or video angles or graphics on the screen, all of those things are engagement tools, but if you do not use them with purpose, then you will not have engagement.
That's interesting. Now I'm sort of like curious. Now, do you sometimes have to maybe coach clients to be able to get better results at the end of the day? Now, because sometimes, what do you call usually the exuberant, no? Coming from, okay, I need this, let's do this. But the difference between let's do this and actually getting it done, there is a lot of things that is going to happen there. If you have done it a number of times, which is usually the fruit of experience, you know what is going to happen. But if you have never done it before, you don't know what, you think it just, voila, everything is done. No. Now, what I'm trying to understand there is that Do you need to coach the client to help them understand, hey, that is what you actually need, but you need to, first of all, get this, do this, and do the like, before you can finally get that, if what you want is a quality product at the end of the day. Help me understand that.
Yeah. So we're working with a client right now. In fact, their event is next week. And this is the second time that we're doing this particular event for this client. When they called me and asked me, they told me what it is they wanted to do. And they had a particular idea in mind of what they needed to make that happen. And once I understood what it was that we were wanting to do, and in fact, this has actually happened twice. This happened before their event. And recently they asked me for this particular event. They wanted to do something else with it. And both times, we found out that what they thought they needed to make these particular things happen were actually not what they needed at all. They both had to do with platforms. And they said, well, I would like to use this particular platform because I happened to go to one event at this particular platform and it looked really cool. And I think this is what we want to use for our event. And once I got to questioning them further about what it was they were trying to have happen and what they were trying to do, they realized, oh, wait a minute, this platform is not going to work at all for our event because number one, our audience has never dealt with this platform before. Number two, when they went to the event on that particular platform, they had a horrible time trying to figure out how to use the platform in the first place and realized that if we were going to use that platform, we'd have to create some really, really good material on education for their audience to even be able to get to the event because it was so unfamiliar. Once they understood that and I explained that to them, they realized, oh, actually, no, let's not use that platform at all, because that's not going to be good. Because regardless of all of the bells and whistles that the platform may have, if your audience can't figure out how to use it, what's the point? You're going to spend half of your event that you could have been spending actually giving them the content that you promised them, and you're going to be spending your time being frustrated with frustrated audience members that can't even get to your event.
All right, now that takes us to another important question that I had in mind even before we started to record just now, which is have to do with virtual event, which means virtual is online, and most of the cases now, okay, it's video, what they're talking about essentially, This is 2024 now. Of course, all of us have seen the experience of COVID. Nobody have any excuse to do everything in physical. You can basically set up a business and run it online this day. And that come with, though it come with a lot of opportunity, but it come with its own challenges, which is technology. So right. Running a virtual business or an online business, how much does technology play in what you do? And what is the learning curve for you? I understand that you've been playing around with it for forever, no? But share with me, what has been your challenges dealing with technology, and how much does technology play in what you do?
So technology is everything I do. When everything I do is tech when it comes to virtual events. And I do that tech because the clients that I'm working with don't want to. Now, when we're working with our clients, they are in varying degrees of understanding tech. So for instance, this event that we're producing next week for our client, they happen to be in tech, but they're not in my side of tech, being video tech, right? So they understand different things to do with IT, but they don't necessarily understand video tech. So I am the one doing all of those things for them while they might be doing some things with their website. Also asking me some of the things that they might need to make sure are on their website so that their audience can still get to them appropriately. So tech is what I do all the time. When it comes to figuring out tech and the challenges that I've had with them, here's the fun thing. I actually produce a bi-monthly virtual event of my own so that people can come and see what it's like to be in a virtual event with me and see kind of how I do things. That being said, one of the other reasons why I want people to be able to see what it is that I'm doing is twofold. The first is for them to get an idea of what's possible for them and their event. And number two, so that they can see behind the scenes when things, oops, clearly I've got my emoticons turned on. I forgot to turn them off.
You won the lottery. Wow. Celebrate.
Tech. Mess with us again. Let's turn off my emotion. So my emoticons. But anyway, the second reason that I want them to be able to see things in person is because I'm actually testing things all the time. And I'm testing things on my own event. And you get to watch me do it live, which also means that you're going to see things break down. You're going to see things break down live. Why is that important for you to see? It's important for you to see those things break down in front of you for with me doing it. And I'm doing it breaking things on my event so that I don't have to break them on your event. But you're also getting to see one of the guests that came to that event. It's called the Business Breakout, by the way. Happens the first and third Wednesday of every month so that you can see exactly how I put events together. It's obviously a small event. It's not hundreds of people like we usually have for events for our clients, but it's a few people in there, but you can see how an event has run. And when you see things break down, the fun thing is, the great thing is how you see, you're going to be able to watch how I recover, because that at the end of the day is what sets me and the people that I work with apart from other people that might be running your event, i.e. you running the event, or maybe somebody on your team running the event that doesn't necessarily have the expertise that we have. It's the way that we recover, because every event is going to have something go wrong. I would love to tell you that
almost all the time,
something's going to happen. But when you have me on your team, it's going to be a whole lot less noticeable, and it's going to be fixed fast, because we know how to fix it.
Okay, Ella, you produce high quality content, virtual content for businesses, right?
Right.
At what cost? Somebody is interested now. Okay, I'm not saying tell me exactly in detail to detail how much, but like, what does it really cost to produce a content? Sort of give me a kind of an average.
So I will say this. When it comes to the costs for virtual events, there are a number of factors that have to be weighed in. And I would say that for an event, you're probably going to be looking at starting for a small business. Now, these are small business numbers. These are not corporate numbers, because corporate numbers are very, very different, right? So for a small business, expect to start around $1,000 for your event. That's just walking in the door. You need to have some kind of budget. That's not talking about anything else, except just we're talking about an event, and we're going to see what needs to happen with your stuff on top of that.
All right. Now, can you give us a kind of a picture of what is happening, sort of pull the curtain for people to see? When you say this event that you're producing, help us to understand your kind of your routine. What is taking place there that you are calling event or the virtual event?
What is taking place? Do you mean like what?
What are you projecting something? Are you projecting something? Are you organizing interview for the people? Maybe a university is organizing something. So you're running the interview. You're helping them to project it. You are staying in between. Yeah. So help us understand what is going on there.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things that I'm capable of doing. And there are a lot of things that my clients have asked me to do. And that's why I say the cost is something that I can't necessarily pin down for you, because every client may want something different. Some clients want me as their MC as well, because with my over 20 years on the stage, that is something that I have the skill set to do and they don't, right? And it's not just a matter of being on the stage. It's the fact that I've been on the stage and TV. That's a big piece of the puzzle. So I understand how to be on camera, where that's not necessarily everybody's forte. and it doesn't necessarily translate when you don't understand how to take your stage performance onto a small camera, right? So those are pieces that we do, that we fill in for our clients if that's what they need. I may also be building websites for clients. When I say websites, I'm talking about their registration site. I may be building their registration site. I may be building their landing page. And when I say I'm not talking about me by myself.
I understand. Your team, no? That is your business. Okay, we'll get the picture. But of course, you, at the end of the day, Steve.
Right. And some of those things, you know, for our small business clients, a lot of these things do fall on me for the small business clients. And we will work together to figure out what are the pieces that you as the small business can do. So, for instance, this event that we're doing that I keep talking about that's happening next week, that particular client, I told you, she's an IT client. So websites she's got. That is her thing, hands down. They are building their registration page, doing all the things. They don't need me to do that, which cuts down cost, right? Because I don't have to do it. I don't have to ask my team to do it, right? So, but we're looking at from beginning, I'm asking you, you know, do you have your landing page together? Do you understand what needs to be on the landing page? Do you understand what needs to be in the emails that are going out after people register? Do you understand what platform you're using? Do you understand why you're using that platform? When that platform, how many speakers do you have? Is it just you presenting or is it multiple speakers presenting? Because when it's more than just you presenting, that changes the whole dynamic and the timeline of what we need to get out and what we need to do in regard to rehearsal and tech and all of those things for your particular event. Why is it important to know how many speakers you're having besides you? Because if you have more than you speaking on your stage for your particular event, that means that's more than one calendar that we have to now deal with. And we have to take into consideration their timeline because we're going to do a tech run. That is going to happen without fail. We are going to have a meeting before that tech run to ensure that everybody understands what needs to happen for this event. Why are we having a tech run? Because if we don't have a tech run, then you are definitely going to have your event is going to fall flat. Everything is going to break for sure if there is not a tech run. And I'm sure, Obey, you have seen, I'm not the only one that has seen this. I'm sure you've been to an event where things broke and you knew immediately, whether you thought about it or not. And I'm asking you, audience, to think about this now. How many virtual events that you've been to that the sound wasn't working, the video wasn't working. Somebody said, I'm thinking about an event that I went to and they were like, oh, hold on just a second. We're trying to figure out how to get our slides onto the screen. Give us just a moment. Hold on. 10 minutes later, they still haven't gotten it worked out. Why? Because they didn't do a tech run.
Well, a good example actually is us. So with towards the ending of last year, 2023, we started to do webinar. We've never done webinar before, no, here. So we set up, we invited guests. They were actually very interesting guests. Of course, yeah, we do this one every month now. People will come in. They're happy to come. Okay, I do know a couple of people. When I tell them, hey, come, let's do a webinar, they're happy to participate, no? Okay, of course, we are going to use Team like we are using now. I use Team to do interview. Okay, also, I'm recent to use Team. I've been using other programs like Zoom before. Oh, I know that I can put a lot of people in, no problem. Yeah, we have a lot of people. People were there. But this broke. Things really broke. The sound, it was... The sound was really horrible. But what is happening? You said everything was going to be okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was going to be like this. So we learned. But we did another one. That one, everything was perfect. The sound, if I would put a video out there, because we have not done it before, so we just fucked up in that one.
Right. I want to help you to. So my role is to help that not to happen for your first event.
It happened to us. So you should talk to people like us where we are starting something new.
Right. And everybody starts somewhere. Right. I mean, I would love to say that we're perfect all the time, but we already talked about there's always going to be something that happens, big or small. There's always going to be something that happens. The difference between me and you doing it is that I know how to fix it immediately and you're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. All right, Ella, I have another question for you. All right, now we are talking to businesses and somebody is asking the question, but why do I need your service? Why do I, as a business, need to maybe organize a virtual event? What do you have to say about that?
So virtual events are really a game changer for businesses, for small businesses especially, because, you know, where social media became a place for you to be able to get your stuff out there kind of for free. It was free in the beginning, right? Now Facebook is making you pay for ads and everywhere, right? But that was the first foray into being able to reach a wider audience. But those are in spurts. A virtual event gives you that time to be in front of your audience and really build that relationship in a way that can't be built in a single post. A virtual event means that you're going to be spending at least an hour, if not more, in front of your ideal clients, which means that those touch points that they needed from you are incredibly lessened, exponentially lessened, right? Because they're spending hours with you, getting to know your personality, getting to know your brand, getting to really interact with your brand in a way that they're not going to do or get out of one single post. So that's the first thing. And then obviously you're able to bring in an audience from around the world. It doesn't have to be people in your zip code anymore. They can get to you from just what you're in Africa, right, Obe?
No, I'm in Italy.
You're in Italy. That's right. You did tell me that. You're in Italy.
Yeah.
I'm in Columbus, Ohio, in the United States.
It looked like we are just in the next room.
Right? But now we're here together in this room. The same way that we could be at a virtual event together, you know, we've been able to be together now and have a different conversation. While you and I have been talking online, we've been messaging back and forth to each other, but now we can see each other's faces.
it's completely so different.
Much, right? It's a very different feeling being able to see each other's faces, which is why I love using platforms for virtual events where we can see faces. And that's what makes it very different from a webinar. Very different from, because a webinar is one-sided, right? Yeah, there are people playing in the chat, but I can't see your face. All I can see is the only person that I can see in a webinar is the person that's presenting, which means that I can't really interact in the way that I want to with the people that are around me the way that I would if I was at an in-person event. Because if I was at an in-person event and the presenter said something crazy, you know, you'd be elbowing that person right next to me. Can you believe they said that, right? But when you're in a webinar, you can't do that. If you're using a platform that allows you to see faces like Teams or Zoom, which Zoom happens to be my favorite platform, okay? If you're using a platform that allows you to see the faces, then you can look around the room. You're going to find somebody in that audience that you're going to connect with. And then you can private message them. And when they see when you make a face on screen, they're going to know. Because they're now your best buds, right?
That's it. That's
right? That's the connection that can happen at a virtual event where faces are present on the screen. You cannot get that with a webinar. You cannot get that with a post. And with that, you're building community. So when I'm ribbing the guy next to me, we're probably more likely to stay connected. And we're connected because of this event that you brought us together. Right? I can't do that with a webinar. I can't recall anybody that I've stayed connected with that I may have chatted with in the chat from a webinar.
All right. That's fair enough. Now, how do you describe a well-produced virtual event? What are the qualities that would make it a well-produced virtual event?
A well-produced, so we'll start with the foundation. The foundation being that your audio is working. your video is working. Your background is not full of junk. And it doesn't have to be a green screen. This is not a green screen. A lot of people always assume that I'm using a green screen because it's so flat. This is a sheet. That is a real background. That is a bedroom sheet that is behind me.
But you set it up properly, of course.
Exactly. I've set it up properly. I've got gorgeous light shining up on it. So nobody knows it's a bedroom sheet. Everyone thinks that it's a cool green screen. And they're wondering how my green screen is cut so perfectly with my curly hair and nothing is being cut out because it's not a green screen. So setting up your background, getting those things done properly, then, and that's just on your basic level. On the event level, understanding the strategy that you have with your content in that event. This is before adding bells and whistles. This is before adding graphics. If you don't understand what your content is doing and what outcomes you're trying to get for yourself and for your audience, then putting graphics on top of it means that you're going to have a shitty event with cool graphics. So let's make sure all of that stuff is firing on all cylinders first. Then once you've got that together, then you can add the cool elements to it. And you can say, okay, you know, I want to make sure that when I say this particular graphic happens to make people go, ooh. Or I want to make sure that when I talk about this particular point, that I want my words over here. And I'm not going to say slides, because I hate slides.
Okay.
Not to say that we haven't used events, that we haven't used slides with our clients, because again, depending on your budget and where you are, you know, we can make those things for you. We can make it be something that's spectacular. When it comes to putting graphics on the screen, you have to understand what it is that you're trying to do with those graphics, where it is you're trying to have your, if you haven't noticed, my theme is purpose, basically. Purpose. Everything has to have a purpose. You can't just throw things onto the screen for no reason, just because you are hoping that it will work. You have to have purpose before you put anything onto the screen.
All right. That should be very important. That should be very important. At least all serious businesses, or actually not only serious businesses, everybody that is doing something substantial should have a clear purpose behind it. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Yeah. All right. Please go.
And to your point, just to tie up that bow, because you asked about well-produced. Well-produced doesn't mean a bunch of graphics. Well-produced means the foundation is laid. And when you are done with that event at the end, on the day of the show, that you have video that is produced in such a way that represents you and your brand, and you can use it long after the event is done.
Well-produced virtual event. All right. That is, you have dealt with that perfectly well. Now, tell me about your client, the people that you work with. What are they like? Okay, I'm not saying give me the demography, but like, tell me, what is your kind of relationship with them? Tell me about the kind of client relationship that you have.
Yeah. So I love the clients that we work best with are ones that are not afraid of creativity.
Love that. You are a creative person.
Yeah. They're not afraid of creativity, and they are not afraid to allow me to do my job, because I'm going to allow them to do theirs. For this particular client's event next week, do I know anything about the world that she's in with channels and all of this stuff? No. But you know what's fun? I'm learning, because we do her event multiple times. So I get to learn about what channels are and what that means and all that fun stuff. Does she know how to do my job? No, not at all. Not in the slightest. And it's a beautiful relationship that we have, because I can talk with her about things and she trusts me to be able to build out what it is that she has in her head. And, you know, for instance, here's something that we're building on top of the foundation that we've already laid, right? So now we're adding graphics, and she wants to do a live stream with her event. So we're doing a live stream with her event. And I said, okay, that's awesome. We can do that. And we'll bring in your speakers that you have, and we'll interview them and do all those things. And she said, hey, I want you to be on screen with me because you are an excellent interviewer, Ella. Like, literally, that's your forte. So can you please make sure that you're on screen with me when we're doing this? And I said, okay, that's great.
Part of what I do.
Totally, yeah, I will totally do that for you. Now, have we had clients that say, no, we don't want you on screen? Yeah, they want to do it, even though that's not their forte. That's fine. I have been on stage and on screen for over 20 years. I'm good.
super, Ella. You're good. Of course, with your explanation here, we can really see that you're good. No doubt about that at all. Now, there is something also I would like you to help me clarify, because now we are talking to business people. And people that are listening to us, many of them are small business owners, and they also want to learn from other people who are doing businesses. So here we are partner, we're not in competition. So how do you market your business to your client? And what can people learn from you? That would mean, what is your advice to them?
Yeah, so I use social media. I'm heavy on social media. These things that I'm talking to you about when I'm saying being able to use your event for long after the event, I'm saying this because I'm doing the same thing. These are things that I've tested. And now these are things that I'm doing with my clients, right? So I test this stuff on me before I say that this is something that you should do, can do, will do, right? So I use social media, and I'm very particular about where it is that I go. I use social media, and this year we've added podcasts to that, which is why I'm here today. And you know, Obe, I asked you immediately. I said, who's your audience? Now, some people may get offended, and I'm very particular with how I'm asking, because I know that some people might misunderstand and misconstrue me to be asking, how large is your audience? I don't care how large your audience is. What I do care about is who is in the audience.
Because who am I speaking to?
Right? Because it doesn't make sense for me to go on a podcast or somebody's show that is made up of moms who want to learn how to cook. Now, I'm a mom and I love cooking. And could I teach you a thing or two? Yeah, I've got a chef for a husband. I probably could tell you something. But that's not what I'm promoting. My business is virtual events. So and virtual events specifically for small businesses. So I need to know if your audience is made up of small businesses, which is why I ask that question, right? So for you as a small business, I would say to get really laser focused on who it is that you're talking to. And I'm thinking about a friend of mine who asked me to come and be a part of her event. She asked me to speak at her event. And I said, who's the audience?
Good question.
Right? And she said, oh, it's going to be a bunch of virtual event people. And I said, I'm so sorry, but I'm not able to come and speak to your audience. And she told me months later, she said, I was really upset when you told me that you weren't going to come speak at my summit. And I said, my event. And I said, and I was like, why? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. And she said, I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at me, because I've just been saying yes to anything and everything. And the way that you were so sure about my event not being an event for you, like, you had so much certainty and you didn't even blink and say no. And I wish that I had that much certainty about what it was that I was doing. So for you as a small business owner, I would encourage you to find those kahunas within yourself to be able to start marketing yourself in the places where your audience is, and forego and put blinders on for the others, because you are wasting your time. As much fun as it may be to talk with X number of people, you're going to get burnt out on your efforts when you realize that nothing's happening from them, and it's not happening because the effort is bad. It's not happening because you're speaking to the wrong people.
And that is so valuable. I believe people are listening. They are paying attention. Of course, in storytelling, we say this often, that before you speak, know who you are speaking to. Anyway, we are not doing storytelling today. We are not really going to go there. Because if you don't know who you are speaking to, it's not going to land. That is for sure.
Right.
All right. Having said that, tell the people how to reach you. I mean, how can they find you if they want to do business with you? And what are the best ways to reach out to you? That is actually the question.
Yeah. There are two ways that you can reach me. The first way, I'm on LinkedIn. Just go look up Ella Glasgow on LinkedIn. I am there. And you can send me a DM. All right. The other way, if you know that you have an event coming up and you know that you have a budget for it, then you can go directly to my website, which is beyondvirtualevents.com, and click on the button that says, let's talk about your event. And I will be happy to talk about your event with you. You'll schedule a time to speak with me. I'll ask you a few questions in that little, in the little calendar there. And then we'll have a conversation about your event and we'll find out, you know, are we a good fit for each other? We may find out by the end of our conversation that we're not a good fit. And I'm going to be honest with you either way. I'm going to let you know, hey, this is not the time. This is what you can do instead. And when you've done this, then you can come back to me and we'll get it together.
That's lovely. But, you know, honestly, it's important too, you know, when we are doing business, because otherwise we're going to waste our time. We're going to waste a lot of our time and it's not good. All right. So what would be your final thought here? Because we discuss a lot of things here. Honestly, we discuss a lot of things, of course, related to your business. So what would be your final thought? Maybe something that you wanted to say, I don't know, just conclude it in your own way.
I would say, if you haven't been putting virtual events into your marketing funnel just yet, it's time for you to start thinking about it, because you're missing out on a huge opportunity. You're missing out on the ability to be able to almost cut your marketing efforts in half. Because if your event is produced well, and as I've said multiple times, if it's done well, then that means there are systems that we have in place to be able to take that event and put it together in a way and give you marketing pieces that will allow you to kind of not have to figure out what you're going to say on social media all the time. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, I mean, how many of us are struggling on the struggle bus trying to figure out what I post today? If you produce one virtual event, one well-produced virtual event, the amount of marketing material that you can get out of that one produced, well-produced virtual event.
People should be listening.
It will save you at least, I'm going to just say at least, there, it's more than this, but I'm going to say it give you at least a month's worth of material. And I'm talking about multiple posts. I'm not talking about just one a week. I'm talking about multiple. Multiple avenues.
That's so valuable. Thank you so much, Ella. It has been a pleasure talking with you. And there have been a lot of value that you shared here that, of course, are going to benefit the audience, those that are listening. They are really valuable. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you for having me. I'm really grateful that you had me on the show today.
Thank you.